I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Coming to you every Wednesday here, I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined, as usual, by Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. Fellas, how we doing?
Doing good.
Doing well.
All right. Hey, it's continues to be a busy season for you guys. We finally do have soccer out of the way. We'll talk about that. I had a couple of state championship teams from the same school this past weekend. Plenty of hoops to talk about, of course, as the regular season winds down. You got a little football to talk about as well. And we'll have Athletes of the Week at the end of the show, as we always do. So thanks for joining us. There's a variety of ways to access this show, of course, in iTunes and if your podcast apps. Just hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified every time we have a new episode. Also, you can listen at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps for updates with stories and scores and all sorts of things there. So thanks again for tuning in. Let's start with soccer. Blake, you had the pleasure of traveling down to, was it Madison?
Madison.
To take in the 5A soccer title matches featuring Oxford's boys and girls, and they both brought home the state championship trophy, which they've done before, but first time to do it at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. The boys last won it in 2013, and the girls won it last year.
Right.
So they both got a win on the same day. It was pretty special to watch, pretty cool to see everyone kind of enjoying that together. I talked with the girls coach, Hunter Crane, just about how cool the scene was. And, he said Oxford has really embraced soccer in the last, couple of years. He said it's really grown as a soccer community, and this just kind of validates the love that the community's put into soccer, that they could get the state titles on the same night.
And the girls just had a dominant run, ended up 20-0, were not challenged very much during the playoffs anyway. And what was the final score on Saturday? Like
two to zero.
Okay, so that one.
But like in the playoffs, they were winning like 6-1, 4-0. The two to zero win in the championship was the closest game of the playoffs, but they scored a goal the first 5 minutes from Morgan O'Connor.
Freshman.
Yeah, freshman Morgan O'Connor, who scored 55 goals for the year, by the way.
Good grief.
She scored in the first 5 minutes, and then Oxford was really able to just play conservative, right? Like, I'm sure if they wanted to go out and score six goals, they could, but, when the stakes are that high, I think they took that one goal and just, played with house money from there on.
Yeah, they ended up with a 2-0 win over West Harrison there. And the boys winning as well. They played West Jones for the 5A title and ended up winning 3-0. And maybe they weren't as dominant a team per se as the girls, but obviously they had a really, really strong season. What did their record end up at? 17-2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Very good year.
And again, the first one for them since 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this meant a lot to their coach, didn't it? Because he's an Oxford alum.
Yeah, Oxford alum. This was his first year as the head coach.
How do you say his name? Charles Sabatier?
Sabatier. I believe that's close. I believe that's good. I'm not
invested. Look at me.
looks French to me.
Yeah. But he talked a little bit about how he was on the first team at Oxford that went to the North half and they lost. And, he said it was just a really amazing opportunity to, be able to coach them and win a state title with team that he played for back in the day.
Yeah, so Oxford boys and girls end up with the sweep on Saturday. You had a column actually today in today's journal about that as well, the Wednesday Journal, about this is their last year in 5A, the reclassification. They've been, they may go back someday, but they're going up to 6A.
Going up 6A.
Next year.
And they go Oxford Tupelo soccer.
That'll be fun.
Quite a rivalry there.
Yeah, will indeed. That'll be fun to watch.
Hunter Crane, the girls' coach, said, bring it on. We're ready.
Nice. We did have another team playing for a state title, South Pontotoc, making its fifth consecutive trip to the state title match, and unfortunately for them, they lost for the fifth straight time to Sacred Heart again.
Yeah, Sacred Heart's in Hattiesburg, Catholic school. You know, hats off to Horace Kitchens, retired highway patrolman that started coaching his daughters and sons in soccer and decided he'd take over the program there at South Pontotoc.
Yep.
He's done a great job with what he calls old country girls there, and they practice year-round. It's just they're no match for the stronger programs in the South.
Yeah,
and, But he dominates in his classification up north.
Yeah, certainly does.
Every year. And, you know, so even though they went down and lost again, he can at least say, we've been down there 5 years and we're better than anybody else up here. So,
indeed, indeed.
Congratulations to the Lady Cougars on another great season.
There you go. And now as we head toward division basketball tournaments, you guys get to start trying to figure out the all-area soccer team.
We're working on that now.
Yeah.
Some of the selections will be easy. Morgan O'Connor.
She was first team last year as an eighth grader, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. I would bet it's a shoe-in that she'll be first team this year.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, we're working on that. Hopefully, we will get it in the paper. John Pitts and I, our sports editor, were laughing the other day. Soccer all-area didn't run to like, the end of March last year. Yeah. But it's more of a space problem than anything because we usually need two wide-open pages to run that.
Exactly, exactly.
Particular thing. And we're talking about during the busiest months of the year with the start of spring sports and basketball postseason.
Yeah, exactly. So look for the all-area team at some point there.
It'll be in your papers before Memorial Day.
We hope so. Okay, let's switch gears to basketball. Let's look at a few key results from this past week. Let's go back to Friday real quick and look at Tupelo boys. Of course, they played Shannon. That's not a division game, but it's a huge game because they're rivals, and I'm sure it was a big turnout there at Tupelo High. Yeah, it was. And the boys, the Tupelo boys winning 60-52. And the girls did as well, but the boys' game was expected to be more competitive, and it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right before the game, I was talking to our photographer there, Lauren Wood, mm-hmm. and she was saying, you know, who do I need to be focusing on? She's like, Tupelo will probably win, right? And I said, yeah, they probably will, unless CJ Brim for Shannon has a heck of a game and puts the team on his back. As he's prone to do, and as he did. And he carried Shannon. It was tied up until, you know, the very end. And then, you know, it's tough when CJ Brim, tough to carry the scoring load by itself. And I talked with Cedric Brim, the head coach, about it. And he said, you know, we know Brim's going to get his, but we need a few other guys to step up, right?
Yeah.
He said Tupelo just did a good job of shutting off those other guys stepping up.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lauren asking about who to focus on for Tupelo. All five of the starters, because there's no C.J. Brim-type player on that team. And that's not that's a compliment because they have so much balance there. Colin Hamilton was the leading scorer. He had 13. Nick Ratliff had 12. I mean, you can't just focus on one guy.
That's what I was telling her. I was like, you know, they'll have six guys that score between 8 and 13 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, that's what they do every single game, and so it makes it tough on them for pictures, but it makes it tough on opposing coaches because there's not one guy to shut down.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So Tupelo with a win there, then Tupelo's boys and girls came back on Tuesday, and again in non-division play defeated Class 5A New Hope in both cases, again Tuesday night.
I'll have a column coming out this Friday about Matt Justice, the Tupelo girls head coach, and Alasia Shearer, how they've been together for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Justice's first year was 5 years ago, and he brought Shearer up from eighth grade. This was their 89th victory together over a 5 year span. It'll be a good story about how they I've just come to be really close over the last 5 years. Shearer said that she's kind of like his adopted daughter. And how Justice, is going to next year have to learn to win games without
Yeah.
Shearer, in his 5 years, he's won 20. He's had 20 or more wins every season he's been at Tupelo.
Well, yeah, definitely she's been a huge part of that. Going back to some other games Tuesday night now, last night as we're talking, you went up to Ripley, Blake, and saw another good non-division tilt, Ripley against Ashland. Of course, you got two of the better players in the area there, Dwayne Cox for Ripley and D'Anthony Tippler for Ashland. They did not disappoint. No. Ripley gets the win 73-68. Looked like it was a pretty good game throughout, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the largest lead was Ripley got up by 11 in the second half. And, you know, I turned to the guy at the scores table and I'm like, it's done. And then Tippler hits a three. Comes down, gets a steal, hits a three, comes down, they get a stop, and then Tippler comes and gets an and one. All of a sudden, he scores 9 points in like a minute, and then he gets fouled as the quarter ends, and he basically went on an 11-0 run to a close quarter to tie the game, and all of a sudden, we're right back in it. Yeah, Tippler has 33, Dwayne Cox at 46. They just went back and forth, and much like C.J. Brim in the Shannon game, Tippler just kind of ran out of gas towards the end. Yeah. And, you know, I talked with Raleigh Tippler, the head coach of Ashland, about it. He said, you know, D'Anthony, he got away with some really big shots, and the other guys on offense just kind of sat back and watched him go off. And then at the very end of the game, you know, they weren't in a flow of an offense. And then when Tippler's shot stopped falling, they didn't really have an answer.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, like you mentioned, Dwayne Cox had a huge game of 46 points there. Ripley having a fine season, of course, 22-3 is the record after that win. And then on the girls' side, Gene, you were at Boonville to check in on Boonville on your side. Just another one of those good 1-3A matchups, although this one ended up a 15-point win for Boonville.
Yeah, and he was talking about running out of gas. Boonville doesn't usually run out of gas ever because they're so deep.
Yeah.
And last night what happened was you've got a really good – I mean, Sparks, Byron Sparks does a great job with New Sites program. They're not as strong as they've been in recent years, but they've still won a lot of games. They've got good players. They're young players. And but Boonville's loaded. They're 7 or 8 deep with quality players. And
they got everybody back now, don't they?
You know, yeah, and you start off last night, and you're Sparks, and it goes, okay, well, we're going to really concentrate on the Dallas Young and Shamia Williams, who just came back from a knee injury, who's really a great player. We'll kind of back off on the point guard, Shea Curley. And so she comes out and scores 10, helps Boonville build a 17-12 lead.
Yeah.
First quarter, comes back out in the third quarter and scores like 6 of the first 8 points in the third quarter. So anyway, a good game. Boonville was favored going in, and they're trying to get all their chemistry together for that run at another state championship.
Exactly.
And you know, Dallas Young is coming off knee surgery too. She just hadn't responded really as well as Shamia Williams seems to have responded. Both of them had surgery for meniscus.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just the makeup of some people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, they're still pretty good. Nobody's there's a lot of people in this area will take a Dallas Young at 75%.
Yeah, she still had 17 points. Shea Curley had 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 4-0 in division there for Boonville. They'll be the top seed in next week's division tournament to be held at Northeast, just across the street, basically there from Boonville High School. So Boonville girls get that win over New Site. And so that's just a quick look back at some of the key results in basketball. Let's look ahead now. I mentioned division tournaments. They're coming up. You know, I think pretty much all the seeding is basically decided in these things. What are a handful of division tournaments we should really keep an eye on that could be very intriguing?
Well, I mean, I think Blake and I were talking this morning. I think 1-4A boys over at ICC with Corinth, Shannon, Pontotoc, and a wild card maybe at Awamba, AHS. I mean, those are 4 good teams in a tournament format.
You'll know.
With, you know, people playing and jockeying for position to get into the state tournament. I think that's a lot of interesting matchups there. I think the 2-5A boys, Oxford, South Hill, and New Hope.
Yeah.
At New Hope. It's going to be a really good tournament. 1-3A girls, Hey,
you figure that's going to be
Boonville,
good.
Boonville, Neusite, and Kossuth. You got 22 wins for Belmont and Boonville. Neusite's got 18, and Kossuth girls have 19 wins. So
yeah.
You don't know. I mean, it's just 1-1A boys. Wheeler, 20 wins. Biggersville and Pine Grove boys sitting there with 17 each.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a very competitive tournament. That'll be at Boonville High School.
Okay.
Why, the Blue Devils are away across the street.
There you go.
They've hosted 1-1A for years.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And 1-2A, Baldwin and Ingomar boys.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one.
You know, and you got Potts Camp and Walnut could be wild cards in that thing.
Yeah, I mean, Potts Camp, I think, played Ingomar pretty tough last week.
They did, and they've only won 11 games, but like some observers there said, that's probably the best 11-win team in Northeast Mississippi, and I would think that's true. They're coached by Kenzaki Jones, who used to play DB at Mississippi State for Jackie Sherrill.
He's
the guy that started the Dog Pound Rock.
That's right. He did.
Kenzaki is coaching a basketball at Potts Camp. They're very athletic, very competitive.
Okay.
Oh, from a girls' standpoint, 2-4A, you got Bahia, Lafayette, Ripley, Senatobia, and New Albany. All those teams have 14 or more wins.
Yeah, Lafayette's very good.
Yeah, five teams over there that could possibly pull one off. So
okay.
A lot of good tournaments coming up.
Yeah, we'll have full coverage of those starting next week. Let's talk a little bit of football, guys. It's the off season, but a little bit of news made a few days ago. East Webster, of course, looking for a new coach after Doug Wilson stepped down. And, you know, he finished coaching both his sons, and so decided it was time to step aside. A familiar name, Ron Price, is going to take over now at East Webster, a guy who proved himself in New Albany. I think it seems like things kind of went downhill a little bit at the end in New Albany, but he had some really good years
there. Yeah, he did. I mean, it did. He went 1-10, I believe, his last year, which is a license to give your employer to fire you if you're a football coach.
Yeah.
But Ron had been there 7 years. They had that great 13-1 season where they had the misfortune of being during the time that Lafayette was making its run.
Yeah.
And that's who put them out. And he had an 8-5 season and I think a 9-3 season. So Ron had some great years there at New Albany. Of course, he experienced some tragedy in his life.
Right. Remember that.
The murder of his wife and things. And that was very tragic, extremely tragic. But he's remarried. He has one little girl from his previous marriage, and they have a new little girl. And he said he wasn't looking for a job.
Yeah, because he'd been at Itawamba as offensive coordinator.
He'd been in Itawamba for 2 years as offensive coordinator. They liked it there. He was very comfortable. He said it had to be a job with the right fit. East Webster kind of came calling. You go down to East Webster, what a well-rounded program.
It really is. It has been for years. East Webster's a really good place, it seems like, to coach and just to play sports. I mean, they're good in football. They're good in baseball most years.
Softball.
Good in basketball, softball.
Tennis. They've been great in tennis.
And so
it was a great situation. He kind of looks forward to it's a place for him and his new family to kind of go down and maybe set up some roots and things and get going again. But he was content working at Itawamba AHS, and he said, you know, anytime you're out, not a head coach for a couple of years, you can look back on things that you did, maybe some mistakes that you made.
Certainly.
And he said he was impressed. I've got a column that's going to run sometimes. Hopefully, it won't be in March.
Right.
But about Ron coming to East Webster, and he said he liked the work ethic that he had always read about and heard about from the East Webster kids, and he said, you know, I had success with those kind of kids at New Albany.
Right.
And he said, so that really thrills me. He said, that works well with me.
Yeah, I'm sure Ron will do well at East Webster, so good for him. Let's close out the show with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week on Prep Rally. We recognize a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. So let's start with the female Athlete of the Week.
That would be me.
You're the female athlete of the week?
No, I would be introducing the female athlete. That would be freshman forward Morgan O'Connor.
Of Oxford.
She scored the first goal, contributed on the second goal in their championship victory. And that goal was her 55th of the season.
55 in 20 games. I'm no good at math, but that's close to 3 per game.
I've already talked with a college coach who is pretty in tune to what's going on in Northeast Mississippi in girls soccer. And he said SEC schools are all over O'Connor already.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, just a freshman. Wow. So, All right, and then male athlete of the week, Blake.
LaDavius Dream of Calhoun City.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to make it a rule that if you outscore the opposing team, you get to be the athlete of the week.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rule.
He scored 52. Eupora scored 48.
Wow, yeah, 52 points for LaDavius Train and a 91-48 win for Calhoun City over Eupora. I mean, first thing I saw last night was, Dwayne Cox at 46, he might be athlete of the week. Wouldn't be a bad choice, certainly.
No.
Then I saw LaDavius Train scored 52, outscored the other team.
Yeah.
And we've talked about him a lot before. He's one of the better players in the area, no doubt. So LaDavius Train and Morgan O'Connor, your athletes of the week. Congrats to those guys. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you again every Wednesday afternoon. You can catch us in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter as well, at @djournalpreps. Hey, we're all on Twitter. Blake's on there, at @BlakeMorganDJ. Gene is at Gene Phelps. And I'm at Brad Locke. So that's it for this episode. We will be back next Wednesday. Until then, y'all have a good one.